Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Stars Cast, also known as Natalie. We're here tonight with my awesome panel, and the chat room is running, and we've got people in there, and tonight we're talking about the clairs, clairaudience, clairvoyance, all the clairs that there are. There's so many of them, you've probably never even heard some of the terms of them, but I'm sure they will be discussed tonight. I have with me tonight, I have Stars James, I have Stars Dragon Spirit and Stars Cosmic Denise, and they will be discussing anything. And if you want to call in, I'm sure the number, we'll give you the number a few times during the show. The number is that you could call in is 347-838-9736. And I'm going to let James take over while I go in the room and see what's going on there.
Thank you, Natalie. And I just want to welcome everyone to the show. We're so glad that you're here. We have Stars Cosmic Denise, which we'll just be referring to as Denise. Stars Cosmic Denise is her name on the website, Stars Psychics. What is the website? Oh, my goodness. Stars with a Z. I know that much. Let's see here.
StarsPsychics.com.
StarsPsychics.com. Thank you. You know what? It's so funny because I go to the website every day. I'm on the website as Stars James, but it's Stars, and that's with a Z, Psychics.com. And then we also have Stars Dragon Spirit. Thank you very much, Stars Dragon Spirit. And her first name is Cheyenne. So during the show, if you're want to talk to any of us, you can find us on Stars. Psychics.com as Stars Dragon Spirit, which is Cheyenne, Stars Cosmic Denise, which is Denise, and then myself, Stars James, which I'll be referred to as James on the show. And we just want to thank also Stars Priestess Candy, who is monitoring the chat room today. We just really appreciate the work that she does there. Today our show is about the clair senses. And there are several different clair senses, and they also are known by some other different names. This is just a way, calling them, you know, by these more technical names, is just a way for us to kind of give a label to what someone may be experiencing or what we experience in our personal journeys and our personal practice. So I'm just going to go ahead and define each one of them, and then I'll go into just a little bit of how I use them, and then we'll pass it on to Stars Cosmic, or we'll pass it on to Denise and then Cheyenne to discuss maybe how they use it a little bit, and then later on in the show we'll discuss a bit about some techniques on how you can, you know, increase these gifts if you're experiencing them now or if you're not experiencing any of them, how maybe you can tap into them a little bit and then also maybe give you some better understanding of how these things work. So the first one I'd like to talk about is the clairvoyant gift. This is probably the most commonly used term out of all the terms that we're going to mention today. And this clair means clear. It means to understand something. It brings clarity. And then voyance is vision. This one actually is a term that often encompasses all of the other gifts. Clairvoyance, like I said, is one of the most commonly used. And it really just means to be able to see. It's using the mind's eye and the third eye to be able to see beyond what our regular, normal five senses are experiencing. Clairaudience is the second one. And this one means clear hearing. And it's perception. A lot of times mediums will use this one in how they're communicating with people who have passed on. It's a way to communicate oftentimes with angels. So this is just another one of the gifts that we're going to talk about a little bit today. There is clairsentience. Clairsentience is one that I use a lot. It really is clear feeling is what the term means, but it's when you encounter spirit or when you encounter angels, it's feeling the presence, and then a lot of times it means being able to communicate with what you're feeling. Some people who have this gift actually can feel certain disorders in the body where they'll have like knee pain, and it will refer to someone else who's experiencing that for the purpose of healing or bringing them to a higher level. So that's another gift. Clair scent is one that we'll be talking about a little bit, and this is clear smelling. It's fragrances oftentimes that have a meaning, an intrinsic meaning for the individual that will help them kind of get clarity on a situation. Clairaugustance is a very similar is a very similar one to the clair scent, and that one's clair tasting, and that the tastes will have a significant archetypal meaning for the person who's experiencing it and will kind of help them on in their journey or if they're working with someone else. Clair agency, this one, this is one that we had discussed before the show. This is also known as psychometry, and it's when you pick up an object, if you have some sort of vision or some sort of connection to that object that is insightful, that's what clairagency is. It means that when you pick something up and touch it, you can get a message off of that, or you can get kind of a connection to a person or a situation through that particular gift. And then the last one that we'll be discussing is clairempathy, which represents, that means clear emotion. And that one is about feeling what other people are feeling. Not necessarily, I mean, it is very similar to the the clairsentience. It's a little, it's similar to that, but it's about more about feeling emotion and knowing kind of what somebody's going through what they're feeling. And that one oftentimes is used in healing, energy healing, and to kind of bring alignment to someone. That one's also one that I've noticed in working with a lot of people. If you have this gift and it's strong, this is also one that brings a lot of challenges as well, because sometimes when people are very empathic, they can sort of pick up on negative emotion and kind of get caught in kind of a negative cycle because of what they're experiencing with others. So that's one that really needs, that I've noticed a lot of times really needs boundaries. So just to get started, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the gifts that I use in my practice and in my everyday life and in my journey. Pretty much I use all of these, but I think that the ones that I use predominantly over the other ones are the clairvoyance, obviously, and that's, again, clear vision. It's being able to see and sense things with the mind's eye or the third eye. And I find this very useful because a lot of times spirit will speak to me in pictures. One of the pictures, actually, that I pick up a lot is related to evolution, where one day, and spirit gives me this all the time, but if I'm doing a reading for someone else and I see a bodybuilder lifting weights, I know what's happening in their situation is they're experiencing some level of resistance, and that resistance is making them stronger. So they're running into obstacles in their life, but spirit is saying that there's a purpose behind the obstacles that they're experiencing, and what they're doing is they're becoming stronger because of the resistance that they're experiencing. So that's just kind of one example of how that one comes up in kind of my everyday practice. Clear audience. I don't really hear a lot. I mean, sometimes I do, but it's not as frequent as maybe some of the other gifts that seem to manifest in my own personal experience. Clairsentience, like I said while I was doing the little introduction there, that's probably the one that I experience personally the most. A lot of times in my readings, I will feel what's going on, and as I press into that feeling, I'll begin to channel, and channeling is just kind of giving the message directly from spirit through my voice. And so that's one that I experience probably on a daily basis in my own personal practice and in my daily life, is the clairsentience. And that's, again, feeling. And to me, spirit, when I am experiencing spirit like that in my feelings, a lot of times it's like my whole body is being lifted up, or it's just a light feeling. And when I press into that and follow that, that's when the gift kind of follows that as well. The channeling kind of follows that as well. Clairscent I've experienced, and that's the clear smelling again. That's something that I have experienced to some degree, but a lot of times that's been for my own personal life. My father, has passed away, but about 7 years ago, he had a massive heart attack and did end up dying, but then they revived him. And when that happened, I was driving in the car, and at the time I was chain smoking. At the time I was a smoker and I was chain smoking. And the car did not smell good at all. And it was just before my mother called me, the entire car filled with the scent of roses. And at the time, roses always were my connection to the Archangel Raphael, which is the Archangel of Healing. And then my phone rang when that happened, and that was when, my father had the massive heart attack. We weren't sure what's going on. And I told my mom, it's going to be okay. I just experienced, the Archangel Raphael, and, I explained what happened. So that's how, and that's happened to me a couple times, and I think that the most common one for me is the smell of roses, because that's one of my connections to the Archangel Raphael. Let's see, clear agency. I don't really use anymore. Clear agency is psychometry. It's where you pick up an object and you get a message from that object. And when I was, I used to live in a bigger city. I'm from Kansas City, but I live in a small town now. When I was in a big city, I used this a lot more frequently because I did a lot more face-to-face readings. Now, most of the readings that I do are either online, through Skype, through the phone, through Stars. So I'm not really connecting to people on a face-to-face level, so I don't really have the opportunity as much to use this one, but this is something that I did implement before I moved to a smaller town in my face-to-face readings. Clairaugustance is not one that the clairaugustance, again, is the clear tasting, and it's not really one that I personally have a lot of experience with. That's not one of the ways that spirit really speaks to me. And then clairempathy, that to me is when I'm doing an energy reading for somebody, or I'm doing in energy healing for someone. This one's very important. Actually, this one is probably one of the most important ones for me when I'm doing a session with somebody, because it helps me gauge where they're at so that I'm able to kind of direct the conversation in such a way that it is meaningful for them, especially if I have to give information that is less than desirable. It helps me kind of lessen the blow of that information. So, I guess with that, that's kind of my introduction and how I use the gifts, but I'm going to go ahead and pass it off to Denise, and let's hear what she has to say about the different gifts that there are.
All right. Thank you for explaining all that, James, and sharing some of your personal stories. It's actually kind of fascinating to hear how you personally use all of these clear scents. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm pretty much in the same. I've used all of these at some time in my reading sessions and healing sessions and just in my personal life. So I can definitely relate to all of them to some degree, but there are definitely ones that I use a little bit more than others. Clairvoyance is probably my go-to, mainly because I'm an artist, so I'm a visual learner, and that's also one thing we'll talk about when it comes to how you can use these abilities. It's probably really great to go with your learning style. It most likely will direct you into the area that will probably come the easiest for you in terms of your sixth sense of that fifth sense. So with me, as art's always been something I've done since childhood, so it's always been how I've connected to spirit. Even before I really work with my gifts, I was painting, almost in this, meditative state to where I wasn't really conscious of what I was painting. I was just, feeling it out. And next thing it's like a world view from space. And I'm like, well, where did that come from? So artists, I find, and creative types, I find, are very clairvoyant just by nature, because they naturally kind of use that muscle, that energy a lot more, because painting and art, all that stuff, is very much coming from a higher place, because you kind of lose yourself. Your ego goes somewhere else, and you're really just working through color and energy and all sorts of visual, imaginative, fascinating color images, all sorts of stuff. I mean, I really can't explain it unless, if you're an artist yourself, you probably know what I'm talking about. But it really is a outer body experience when you paint and you really lose yourself in the art that you're doing. Don't think too much. You know what you want to do, but you don't exactly know where all the colors are going to go unless you're painting by numbers. But for the most part, you're freehanding. It's very much a clairvoyance type of experience. The images come up. You paint here. You paint there. Sometimes you just feel it out through the clairaudience as well. or not the clairaudience, but the clairsentience. So clairvoyance is what I use the most, again, mainly because I enjoy art, feng shui design, all that type of stuff. So I'm always just looking at a room, figuring out what goes where, and then decorating it from there. Clairaudience, as a medium, I do use a clairaudience when I'm a messenger between spirit and my spirit guide. As a medium, when you do mediumship sessions, it's not as easy for me. I'll just say that, personally speaking, because I have to be a messenger. I'm in between, you know, the spirit that's passed over, giving me information and hearing the information, seeing the visuals and things of that nature, and then going to my spirit guide to see if she has anything to add or, you know, if she wants to clarify anything. And then I have to bring the message to the client. So to me, it's almost a little bit more work that I have to do. And with that, I really tune up just a little bit more because I know I'm working, again, with past loved one, and I want to make sure everything gets in a lot faster and clear. And with my guide, it's kind of like, you know, the BFF. Everything comes in because we worked out our own little way of communicating. So with clairaudience, mainly I save that for my mediumship sessions. But with my guide, we know just to work through the visuals because it's easy, it gets the client. And if you work on networks, as many of us obviously do, you know, you don't want to waste clients' time and money, so you definitely want to get information in as quick as possible. And for me, clairvoyance is a way to do that. Clairaudience to take a little bit more time because my ego has to kind of really sit back and I really have to take it up to the next level. And sometimes information just needs about an hour, you know, to really get everything in. And that's when I do my personal sessions off the network. So that's where I use clairaudience. It's clairsentience. The clair feeling, again, I use this when I shop. I use this when I'm doing feng shui sessions. I use this when I used to do professional organizing and in-person feng shui sessions as well. And this is really where I will go into a crystal shop or I'll go into a bookstore or I'll go into any place. And I literally just feel out the item. I like new items versus used items because when you go into an antique store or a used store, you really have to take the extra effort to feel out the energy before you actually buy it. You can always smudge, clear with smoke, and all sorts of, you know, just put it in the washing machine to kind of clean it that way as well. But with me, I prefer new items, and I prefer shopping at places where I can kind of feel out the energy before everybody else has kind of put their own energy into it. So I really am one of those people, if I'm shopping for, like, decor or anything of that nature, it's almost like I'm picking out fruit at the grocery store. And it's the same thing. Even if you go to the grocery store and you're picking out fruit, you're really just feeling out if the fruit is going to be something that's going to be, you know, to your liking. But with clairsentient, you're really just feeling out the energy to feel like it's going to be something of your liking once you bring it into your environment. And then you can take further measures there. But, yes, I do definitely use the clairsentient, the clair feeling, by the way, to go about my daily life as well as with sessions. And I do use this along with empathy to really tune into people and their emotional states. And usually all I need is a name. I like to keep my sessions pretty short and sweet to the point where I just ask for the name and the question because that alone is all I need. I just need the name so I can tune into that person's energy and the question just so I know what I'm dealing with in terms of what information I need to gather for the client. So that's where I use a lot of the clairsentient in the clair feeling is just tuning in to people. And I do this every day in my personal life as well. I'm always tuning to people on the Internet. I'm always tuning to people in real life. And a lot of the times I don't like what I tune into, but I'm really good at shielding up, putting up a rubber shield that bounces energy back to the point where it doesn't bother me too much. But when you are very sensitive, you can pick things up easily, and you're not going to like everybody. I'll give it right out there. You're not going to like everybody if you're very sensitive. And that's why a lot of introverts are introverted, because they are naturally very sensitive, and they can tune into people, and they don't always like what they feel from people, and sometimes it can create trust issues, or sometimes it could just simply create a greater awareness. And the best thing to do if you are very sensitive and you work in an environment like corporate America and you're dealing with coworkers and competitive energies everywhere, which exists everywhere, by the way, it is important that you do learn a little bit more about shielding, asking for the white light to be surrounding you, ask for rubber shields to bounce energies off of you, and that just keeps you very much in tune to your energy so you're not affected by those subtle energies that everybody else might not be feeling, but you pick up quite strongly. So that's just how introverts can live their life a little bit more extroverted without having to feel like they got to close up shop, you know. Claircognizant, that clear knowing, I don't know if we talked about that one, but that's just when you get a question and you instantly know the answer. It's kind of just like, you know, riding a bike. You're like, oh, yeah, I know what the problem is. Oh, yeah, I see the solution there. And I think we all use that on the network as well as in our daily lives. We know if they're lying. We know if the story is a different tale. We just know things right off the bat, or we can answer questions pretty quickly. Great problem solvers. I've found that a lot of intuitives are great problem solvers because they don't just look for the practical solution. They kind of go to their guide for the solution, and then they can give you a little bit more of a higher perspective on the best way to get things done and be effective with it. So I do use a clear knowing a lot as well. And, again, that's the claircognizance. And the psychometry, which I believe was the clairagency, is something that, again, I use through interior design and when I decorate. And even when I paint, I just like to hold things and feel like, is this the right brush that I need to be using? No. Okay, is this the right lamp? Should I move it to the bedroom or the kitchen or whatever? So when I'm redecorating and decorating, I like to pick up the object. And sometimes I actually tune right into the object to feel it out where the object needs to go. My guy, of course, has given me the insight in terms of this might be the best place, but just holding that object and kind of feeling out where it almost wants to go, you know, feeling out the energy of just the object and where it would be best is how I like to decorate. And that's just why I'm an intuitive feng shui designer. It's just my passion and love to decorate anything artistic. Now, what was the other one that we spoke of? It was the
tasting and smelling, I think.
Yes, the tasting and smelling. The tasting, not so much. Don't use it too much. I've had one experience, again, with dealing with mediumship sessions. And what was the other one again? It was the tasting and the smelling. Yeah, the smelling too. It's mainly with mediumship sessions that those come in the strongest. And it's, again, nothing more than just a pinpoint that I am working with the right spirit. I am connecting to the client as well as the spirit that I'm speaking with. And those are just kind of when those come in. And if my grandmother's visiting or something of that nature, usually what I'll get is just like the smell of her dressing, like her, which is dressing is stuffing in the South. And so it'll be food. Food is usually what I end up smelling, you know, and it's usually food that I'm not cooking or have not cooked. It's just food that, like, she only makes, like banana pudding or something. So it'll be sometimes like a sweet, savory type of scent when she's around that I'll get. But other than that, it's something that is kind of used more in mediumship sessions. But even in mediumship sessions, I don't really use them that much. Mainly, again, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, claircognizance, and psychometry. Okay, so I'm going to move this over to Cheyenne so she can share a little bit about her experiences using all these gifts as well.
Wow, thanks. This is a lot. First off, thanks to everybody that's in the room, and I'm glad that everybody came, and James and Denise and Natalie, of course. This is a long list in a way, and for me, some of them run together, so to speak. Instead of them being separate, they fall under, you know, a different one subtitle, so to speak. Where do I start? The clear agency, the psychometry, I do use, not for myself on a daily basis, but if someone comes to me and they've lost something or they're looking for something or they need something in that nature, I'll do that physically because a lot of people in the physical want something tangible. And they think that if you're holding something tangible or that if you're doing something of that nature, they tend to believe in it more. I should put it that way. Unless it's, you know, somebody that's known you a long time and knows your gifts and knows you personally, so to speak. And as far as the clear Augustine, the case, for me, no, I would have to say that comes under the clear sentience, because to me that's a sensing, and I'm sensing things all the time. You know, whether I'm touching something or I'm smelling something, or say, for instance, say if I go in a hardware store and all of a sudden I get a taste of metal in my mouth. For me, that's being sensitive. That's picking up on it that way. Also, you know, the clairsensitive, you get the emotions and these different sensations and so forth, and intuitive thoughts and stuff like that. So for me, that is an everyday thing. The clear sentence always is. Let me see, which other one now? And as far as the seeing part that we were talking about, the clairvoyance and so forth and so on, I read energy signatures. So that's real important to me. When I see things, I see the energy patterns of them, and I also feel the movement of the energy. So I use every single day, whether, you know, it's just me during the day or if I'm doing a reading or anything else, you know, especially if I'm doing a reading and someone says, okay, I'm having a problem in this area, I'll look at the energy signature in that area. Or if they ask about someone, then I'll look at the energy signature. So for me, that's real important because I sense it and feel it, which is the empathic part as well. I've always been a strong empath. So the empathic part plays a big deal as well. Clear audience, I think everybody at some point, on some level, has the clear audience, whether they're aware of it or not. A lot of us that do the type of work that we do, of course, we use the clear audience. Other people that may not be aware of what's happening, say, for instance, they're in the borderline of falling asleep or meditating or going into a regression or something, all of a sudden they hear something, and it's really the first time they've heard something, and they're not sure what it is that they've heard. But I've seen that awaken in people. But as I said, I believe all of us use the clear audience and things. Let me see the list here. Give me a second. The clear empath. Well, the empathic I've always used since a child. Empaths pick up everything. When I was younger, before I knew what was going on, and I didn't know how to channel energy, my parents would take me out in public, and I would get sick, really ill, sick, and didn't know why. And as I got older and started finding out, started doing certain practices and learned how to channel the energy, I figured out, you know, what it was. But that's different. I want to say one thing. The clairsense does work for me. That goes into the aromatherapy end of it. Because you can smell different things, and your body's going to react different, or something's going to shift. You may be walking down the street, but say, for instance, kind of like what you were saying, Denise, say my grandmother passed away, and if I'm walking down the street, out of nowhere, I will smell her perfume. And, I mean, it is so strong and so intense that I will stop, and I'll look around like, wow. And that happens a lot. And I do believe for the population at large, that happens a lot. And people really don't realize what it is that's happening. A lot of people that I know that work in the angelic realm, they may not sense it in another way, but they know if they're walking around or something happens, they will smell a certain scent, and they identify that scent with, you know, their angel, so that they know that their angel is around. So I see that happen a lot too. But for myself, I don't look for it every day. I don't try to use it every day. It just kind of happens. Again, I have to go back to the clairsentient dad, being sensitive and being an empath. I've had my whole life, so that plays a large role in my life on a daily basis. And the clairaudience a large role on a daily basis because I really don't ever shut my door down. So for me, my mind and things that I hear constantly, the constant chatter, it's a highway. And then there'll be times that I will take the time out and say, okay, everybody has to give me a break here, and I'll center myself and take a break. Otherwise, the door stays open, and I'm constantly hearing things. I mean, I can go out onto the sidewalk and be walking down the sidewalk passing people, and somebody in my head will say, say this to this person or say that to that person. And I have done that, thinking, oh, boy, I don't want this person to think I'm nuts. But I say it to them, and they just kind of look at me and smile and say, well, thank you. I don't know how you knew that, but thanks. And it made their day. So, you know, I got to where I got to do that more often instead of, you know, my ego or anything fearing it and wanting to stay away from it. And clear audience, that's a constant as well. With everything that I do, whether it's healings, readings, my everyday life, I would have to say my everyday life, I use all of them. All of them apply, with the exception of the clairaudience case and the psychometry. Everything else, it's just, I don't know if you want to call it a habit, but as old as I am now, it's just been a constant. It's a part of my everyday life. It's kind of like when I get up in the morning, you know, I'll ask the guys, okay, what's the best color for me to wear today? Or what order should I be doing this, this, and this during the day? It's just habit. But these different practices have been a part of my life on a daily basis and on a constant basis. There's not just one that I can pick out and say that, you know, that's the only one that I use. Kind of like, it means like your creative side with your painting and so forth. I'm the same way with my jewelry and so forth. It's just something that is a constant. It happens every single day, and there's no stopping it. I've never tried to stop it. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people as well. You know, it becomes a habit. It's how do I put it, a stream. It's like a stream of energy that passes through you, and it's something that you do all the time without consciously thinking of it. You just do it. And for me, I've never had a problem with it. I've never tried to shut it down, as I said, and especially with me reading, you know, energy signatures and stuff, I'm seeing things all the time, and I'm hearing things all the time. And when I do my readings and healings and so forth and so on, of course, all of these are involved at some point with those readings and so forth. So that's about all I can say for right now. I'll go ahead and give it back to you, James, and see where we want to take it now.
Thank you, Cheyenne. Thank you, Denise. Yes, this is, and one thing, Cheyenne, you were talking about how these all run together, and as you were talking about that, I kept thinking about dinner, and you know, to me, a good dinner, you know, somebody brings the dinner to the table, and it's visually appealing, and you know, it's beautiful, and then you can smell it, and it smells good, and you want to eat it, and you put that piece in your mouth, and it has a good texture, and it tastes wonderful. And one thing about that whole experience is it's one experience. It's not, you know, you're not really thinking about, you know, I'm going to look at it now and use my vision to you know, see how beautiful this is, and then I'm going to smell it to see, you know, how I like the smell, and then I'm going to taste it, and I'm going to feel the texture. You know, we don't really separate out our senses that much, and
right.
And it is very similar with you know, these clair senses, and you know, also just the spiritual and psychic world is we don't really separate them out, and that's one thing I think that you know, for you as a listener, if you're interested in these gifts, understand that a lot of times as you develop your psychic gifts, you're going to develop them kind of together. I mean, it's something that you already have them. I personally, I've been doing this for so many years now, and I believe that we're all psychic. We all have, you know, we may have latent psychic gifts that we haven't really paid attention to, but I have not really met a person that isn't psychic, or it doesn't have the ability to have these senses and use these senses in their everyday life. Most people use them without even paying attention or knowing that they're doing it. And that's another thing, too, is, you know, there are lots of intuitive people that use intuition throughout their day, and they don't even really realize it. And, you know, I think the reason why for me it's good to be able to separate them out and to label them and to find, you know, strategies to help them grow in each of us is because it does help us move to the next level, especially if you if you are learning, you know, the symbols for you. And I do feel like spirit speaks to us in a way that we can understand, but we do have to kind of interpret them as well. I was thinking, actually, this kind of, it's kind of a two-parter, but Denise, you were talking about how your art is, is such an influence on your life, and that's probably why you're more clairvoyant, is because you're a visual person, and that art is so much a part of you. And it made me think, I wonder if a chef is, has the more of a propensity to be clairaugustant, because that's one that personally I don't really experience very often. And, it just kind of made me think that, you know, I wonder if they would have more of a propensity for that. But then if you think of a chef, too, a really good chef, I know a few really good chefs, and if they have a food in front of them and they eat it, they can pretty much tell you, they can pick out certain aspects of that food and tell you where, where a certain dynamic came from, whether it's a certain herb or a certain, they can pick out the aspects of that. And I think that's what this is all about, and that's probably my first tip, is learn the little parts of, the symbols and how does spirit speak to you? One wonderful place I think to start is your dreams. Start writing your dreams down. Even if you only remember one little part of your dream, write it down, because that's one thing that's going to really help you do, is it's going to help you identify the symbolism that is meaningful for you. A lot of times our dreams are so symbolic, and that's one thing that has helped me out in understanding how spirit speaks to me, is I started writing my dreams down, 10 years ago now, and that really helped me create a language that spirit can communicate with me in that way, and it's very very much so clairvoyant, in a very clairvoyant way. Another thing too, and the one thing that I feel, or the one gift that I feel is probably the easiest to develop, is the clairvoyant gift. And maybe it's not easier for other people, but for me, I'm an artist as well, and so it's possible that that's why it came so easily to me, even though I don't use it as much as maybe some of the other ones all the time. But I one thing that I know, it's a strategy that I actually learned from, I can't think of the lady's name. I can't think of the lady's name, but I'll have to look up her book. But she talks about developing this gift, and what she suggests is taking like a bowl of fruit and set it in front of you on the table and stare at it for about 30 seconds to a minute, and then close your eyes and recall what the bowl of fruit looked like. And what you're doing is you're not necessarily strengthening the psychic gift, because you already have the psychic gift. You're probably just not as tapped into it. What you're doing is you're strengthening your ability to visualize, to bring that forward in your mind's eye. And that's going to help you, when spirit tries to speak to you through visualizations, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes the avenue of that is the imagination. Spirit will bring that forward in the imagination through the clairvoyant gift. And again, that's not always. Sometimes people have very open visions, which, I think I've experienced it both ways. But for the most part, my clairvoyant experiences are not open visions where I'm having an amazing, totally separate from my body experience. What they are is they're in it's the avenue of the imagination that spirit is speaking to me in that way. And so I think that that when I heard that technique, it really resonated with me, and I feel like that is, you know, that's a very useful one. The biggest thing is pay attention. You know, pay attention. If you feel something, follow through with that and press into it. That's one of the things that when I teach classes on developing your psychic gifts, that's one of the things I focus on the most. Is if you feel something and it's subtle, press into it and see if there's anything there. Because as you press into it, you're gonna be able to tell if it's something, you know, that's substantial and real, or if it's just a, you know, some sort of figment of your imagination. Because the way that spirit speaks to you, it will increase. And if it's not, it probably won't increase. If it's not, you know, a spiritual connection. So that's another thing. Pay attention and, you know, press into those things that you feel maybe spirit-led or that spirit's speaking to you. And with that, I'll go ahead and, Denise, we'll pass it on to you and see kind of suggestions that you have in terms of these gifts.
Okay, thanks, Janice. And you mentioned, I don't know if we read the same book or mentioned, I don't know the woman's name either, but I know exactly what you're talking about because I was like, I remember that. Similar, when I teach psychic development, I agree. It's really about you have to get present. If you really want to tap into a particular gift, you have to kind of work with your five senses, you know, to get to the sixth sense, so to speak. But, yeah, I have total agreement in terms of we're all psychic. Nobody is superpower, woman, man, you know, special. We all have the ability to tune in, and we're probably already tuning in. It's just, you know, some of us do this profession and every day, so, you know, we might be a little bit stronger at it. That's all. So it's all a matter of degrees at the end of the day. So, yeah, get present with any gift that you want to bring further into kind of that sixth sense reality and just become aware. And in the day of social media and texting and cell phones and all this sort of stuff, a lot of people are really not as present as they need to be. And some techniques that you could really help yourself out in just everyday life in terms of feeling things out and visualizing things and paying attention to your dreams and lucid dreaming, where you can actually change your dream and be awake in your dream, all that type of stuff, is really just working with things that are already present, or I should say living things that are already present. Animals, spend time out in nature around wildlife. Get around the trees and the plants and the flowers, garden, you know, walk barefoot on the ground. This is going to ground you. It's going to center you. It's going to help you get present. You're around very positive, loving, energy, living beings that already vibrate to such a high vibrational state that it's only going to rub off on you. People tell me all the time that by spending time around me or coming to me for guidance, they've literally just become psychic through just the connection. And it's very true. If you hang around people that are tuned in most of the time or that are working this profession, if you know one of your friends is a psychic, things of that nature, you're naturally going to find yourself becoming more and more intuitive. It's just one of those things where, you know, your environment becomes kind of your reality as well. So make sure you're hanging around people that are vibrating at a positive level if you are looking to develop psychically and really looking to kind of go to that next level. You know, change your environment. Make sure your environment's very harmonious. Declutter your environment. Clutter does block energy, and it does keep you very weighted down. Change your diet. High vibrational foods such as green leafy veggies, fruits, smoothies, water, all that type of stuff, lemon water, just putting high vibrational citrus into your drinks is going to lift your vibrations as well. So you want to take all those things into account. You are looking to develop a little bit more. Going back to hanging around things that are quite present naturally, I did mention the animals, and as a pet psychic, I forgot to mention that. I definitely feel a lot when it comes to, and see a lot when it comes to tuning into animals. But if you have a pet, they are probably the best teachers you could have in life in general, but especially when it comes to your intuitive abilities, because they are natural psychics, especially cats. My goodness, cats are so psychic. At least creepily so. But dogs, same thing, very psychic. Even your hamsters and your guinea pigs or chinchillas or snakes, you know, they're all naturally tuned into the earth. They know when something's about to happen. They know there's rain coming. You know, all those types of things, they're very tuned in. So the best thing you could do for yourself is spend more time with your pets out in nature, you know, and do things that keep you present and being around things that keep you present, and you're naturally just going to find that you become a lot more aware of your abilities. But, you know, like James is saying, we use these every day, so it's really just about noticing when they come up and then going, oh, okay, you know, and then maybe just become more aware of it down the line in the future when they pop up. But other than that, that's kind of some of the best ways you could really, you work with it. One thing you could do if you have kids is play the game of match or any card game where you just match up the different cards, just feel them out. So if you, like, pick an animal card out, and you're all familiar with the game match, right? If you have a bunch of cards and you face them down and then you just try to find the match and you pick up two different cards, kids are really good at this because they're just naturally tuned in, coming in straight from the other side. And you could also play these games with them to become just as tuned in as well. It's just a fun way of learning. A lot of people, if they're entertained or they're having fun, they learn a lot quicker. And these are always fun games that I like to use in psychic development courses, as well as when I was growing up, I always enjoyed just playing games. And psychics are really great gamblers, by the way, for that reason. But it is a more of a high vibrational thing to do, is to work more with, like, kid games and card games and things of that nature, more so than, like, slot machines for your intuition. But that's just a fun way. I like to have fun. That's a fun way you can really work with your gifts. Okay? I'm going to pass this on to Cheyenne now.
Oh, can I interject really quick?
Uh-huh.
I know where I got this from. It was a book called Ask Your Guides by Sonia Paquette. And I'm not sure if you read this same book or not, but I want to give credit where credit is due. So that's the book
right.
that I was referencing.
Okay. No, it was actually it wasn't Sonia Paquette that I saw a similar exercise. But, yeah, that's great. Give people resources.
Okay. I agree with James. People, everybody is born with gifts. And whether they want to further them or pay attention to them or anything, that's up to an individual's choice. But I do believe that people are born with gifts. But one thing I do notice with a lot of people is it's not so much a mind thing. They focus on it very, very hard trying to figure it out. And the thing is that if you let go of that, it's going to end up coming to you. I mean, the guys, through my experience and the experience of some people that I have worked with, the guys, the universe, whoever is going to be working with you will find the best way to communicate with you. In other words, they're going to try some things. And if you pay attention to that or you notice that, then they say, okay, this person notices it, we can do it this way. If you don't, then they'll try a different way. There's various different ways that people are awakened or their attention is gotten by universal energies to learn things. And always, you know, if you're drawn to something, then definitely look into it. There's a reason you're being drawn into it. If you want to look into classes, there's enough people out there that give classes and things. And again, I'm going to say this. I have not read a book on the face of this planet or anything that has 100% truth in it. This is somebody else's guidance that they're giving to you, just like we do. You're going to find your own way. You will get a skeletal outline of something, and then you're going to end up going by your gut feelings and what you feel and how you're guided to do something. Everybody isn't always the same. But they will communicate with you, that they'll keep repeating or showing you something over and over and over, an object, or even a song. Say, every time you get in the car, every time you turn the radio on in the house, the same song's on. Well, maybe that's something that they're trying to tell you. So, you know, pay attention. It is very important to pay attention, but don't get lost in your head. Don't try to make it hard, because it's not difficult. All you have to do is pay attention and let it go. Everyone, you know, again, has gifts. Whether it's your choice whether you want to build on them or extend them or anything of that nature. I know a lot of people who do have gifts and talents and that are very good at what they do, but they don't practice them as a rule. They will practice them for themselves and keep it to themselves, but not for the public. Let's see. I'm looking over the notes here because so much has been covered already. Pretty much that's all I wanted to say. It's not a head thing. That I can't say that enough. It is not a head thing. A lot of people get analytical and they get lost in their head and they try to figure out this or that. If you are drawn to something or something keeps repeating itself and you start to follow it and you feel good, you feel happy, you find yourself smiling, then you know you're going the right way. Then you have made your connection and you can go further with it. But if you find yourself miserable and constantly getting frustrated, you know, and getting headaches and everything else, then you're hanging on too much. Trust me, if you have talent and you, in your heart and in your soul, you're really, really, really wanting to begin working on these and being on your path, it will open up to you. And the reason I said about the song thing is because I've seen that happen with so many people, I just couldn't tell you. I mean, or even billboards, they keep passing signs on the street as they're driving along. And a lot of them keep saying the same thing, the same subject. So, again, you know, like Denise says, pay attention to what's going on and what's around you. Because what's around you and what's happening is going to be your telltale signs insofar as, okay, you wanted it, you asked for it, here it is. And, again, they do try different ways. They'll try one way. If you don't respond, then they will try another way. They don't give up on you after one try. Do things that make you feel happy, that make you feel light. It's not about feeling burdened or you know, a job. That's a good way of putting it. Don't look at it like a job. It's not a job, so to speak. Once it starts, you know, it'll just flow, and you'll be happy, and you'll be light, and you'll just advance with it naturally. So don't be really hard on yourself, you know, if you say, well, my gosh, you know I have a gift, but I haven't started doing anything. Maybe you have. Look at the different things that you're already doing and what you are good at. So maybe, you know, that's the area you're going to work in. If you're doing something and you're good at it, look at how it ties into the spiritual world. Because you may be doing it and you don't even know you're doing it. But that's about all I have to say. Sorry, it's not so long.
No, that was great advice.
It was great. And I just want to say thank you because you brought up a dynamic that is so important to this particular subject is letting go and not being too much in your head. In fact, I had a mentor one time tell me, you have to be really balanced with spirituality and with this stuff because, and this is what my mentor said to me, if you are too logical, you're not going to be able to let anything in. But you don't want to be so open-minded that your brain falls out.
Right.
And that to me was like such crucial advice for me because, you know, I am probably more prone to being more logical, and that really allowed me to open up, but not open up so far that I was just, you know, that I wasn't still thinking things through because we are beings that have logic for a reason. We are beings that have intuitive nature for a reason. And, you know, this is the way that we are. And both are equally as valid and both are so important. And I think that in our culture, you know, we don't really have a problem with the logical side. In fact, we're way too much over there. What we have a problem with is allowing ourselves to let go and just kind of go with the flow and trust our subtle instincts. I mean, I think that that's more of our issue. And so, you know, I think that the advice to let go and not be too much in your head is so crucial to being able to develop these because without that you can't develop them. You can't really move forward without being able to trust those subtle things that come into your life and follow through with those, you know, those subtle impressions. Whether it's any of these, clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaugustine, it doesn't matter which one it is. If you're not able to really trust it and follow it, then it's, you know, it's not going to be beneficial to you. So, you know, I think that that's wonderful advice, and I really, really appreciate you bringing that up. And again, I just want to confirm to you guys, you know, practice this stuff. Like Cheyenne was saying, practice really does make perfect. And with this, you know, start practicing. In fact, you'll be amazed that when you start practicing this, when you start following through, you feel like you're supposed to turn left or right, or, you know, just little things. You'll be amazed at what happens when you start practicing it. And the one thing is it's okay to make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. It's human. One of the things that I tell my clients often is that I am not infallible. I am a human being that's doing the best I can with the resources and understanding that God has given me. And my intention is always to bring people to a higher state vibration, to give them insight and to help them understand what's going on in their situation. But that doesn't make, I mean, you know, that's what my goal is, but I'm not infallible. I'm human. And so, you know, especially I think that we get so stuck on our mistakes. Mistakes are an avenue for us to go higher and go to a different level. So make sure that you step out and do some of this stuff in faith, and you'll be surprised. But if you make a mistake, that's fine too. That makes you human and normal and just like everybody else. And, you know, with that, I'll let everybody go ahead and give a little bit of a closing. So I'm going to pass it on to Denise.
Okay, thanks, James. That is great advice. And I wanted to echo Cheyenne's sentiments about, you know, well, actually yours as well, not being hard on yourself and making sure that you do allow yourself to, you know, let go, release. And my only last kind of words of wisdom are simply just, like I said, have fun, you know, play with it. Make sure that if you're feeling frustrated, you're not quite, you know, feeling like you're getting it or anything of that nature, take a look at your environment. Your environment says a lot about where you are kind of in your life or how things are processing in your life. So clean up shop. I'm telling you, when you declutter your environment, when you get rid of things that are no longer working for you, things that you no longer love, things that you just, you know, no longer need to be in, you will definitely find that all the energy clears up and you really start receiving and tuning in and just being a little bit more present with your gifts. Everything just really just automatically just, you know, turns up a notch. So declutter your environment. Make sure your spaces are really a loving, energetic place to be in. And you'll naturally just feel like you don't have a lot of burdens on you. And that really will release a lot of the energy resistant to receiving. So to me, I just say clean up shop. That's probably the best advice I can give you as we close out today. Okay, on to you, Cheyenne.
I'm going to kind of echo the same thing. You know, we're souls and spiritual beings in human bodies. And if you're not making errors, if you're not making mistakes, then you're not learning and you're not growing. If you don't see, you know, who was it? I think it was Ben Franklin or somebody that said he did, let's just say 99 times he did it and couldn't get the light bulb to work and it was the wrong way. No, you learned 99 ways not to do it. So it, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make errors. That's part of growing. Just as a child, you know, when you watch a child grow, a child does different things and makes mistakes and bumps the knees and does this and that, but they learn as they're growing. So, you know, again, don't be hard on yourself. But there and again, if you're going to make a choice, you know, to go ahead and do it, then do it. Don't sit there and just think about, well, maybe, because one of the worst things that anybody can do for themselves is sit there and procrastinate and put it off and put it off and put it off, because you'll be procrastinating forever. So, you know, again, don't be hard on yourself. Watch for signs. If you're drawn to something, most definitely try it out and do it. because you have no idea. There may be something great waiting for you down the road. And I'd like to thank Natalie for hosting tonight, and I'd like to thank everybody in the room and everybody that listens. It's always a pleasure to do the show, and I really, really, really do hope that somebody heard something that, you know, they might be able to use in their everyday lives. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Cheyenne. And I just want to thank you, Cheyenne, and Denise, and of course, Natalie, who hosts the show. One thing, Denise, that you said, have fun. And you know what? This, to me, Mondays, at 7 o'clock Eastern time, Mondays are so much fun to me. I love this. I love being able to have this discussion. I am so grateful that Natalie has created this format for us to be able to share our viewpoints. And anyone and everyone who's listening to this, we really appreciate you being here and, you know, please come back and feel free to call us. I mean, we love hearing your insights and your questions as well. So I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to, and Stars Priestess Candy. I wanted to say thank you to Stars Priestess Candy and just let her know that we really appreciate what she does for Stars, the network, and also for the chat room during the radio show. And I'll go ahead and pass it on to Natalie. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. What a great job. You guys give me goosebumps every single week. I always sit proud and sit real tall on my chair, even with my neck the way it's been, because it's just, you have fun. I have fun listening, and I go back and forth to the chat room, and we have a few stars in there right now. We have Stars Mystical Waters, Stars Judy Noah. We have, of course, our Stars Priestess Candy, and we have Stars Aeneas. It's just, you know, it's amazing, you know, to see that support in the room is a beautiful thing. And Candy, she does Facebook, she does Twitter, she does the room, and Mystical said, "We love you, Natalie." Well, I love all of you. I just see a lot of good things for all of us, and I have so many of you that have stood by this. We're on about 65 sites with our banners right now, nice sites, and we're even on sites where the biggies, the big guys are, so I sit really good with that because I didn't pay half of what they paid. So I just happen to know somebody over the years that has a lot of friends and networking and who are really helping Stars to move up and up and up, and we are moving up. Don't forget, we do audio in the chat now. All you have to do is have a built-in microphone or a headset with a mic or headphones. You can talk to my advisors. They're so beautiful. We're really, really very, very lucky that what we have here. It's just truly amazing. And, of course, next week we're going to have another great topic. And I failed to mention our Stars Priestess Lori. She's in the room right now. And it's just wonderful. It's just really, really great. You have no idea how proud I am of all of you. So do come back next week, and I think we'll have another awesome topic, like I said. And Leo, our little resident bird, has been very quiet. I mean, he wasn't in the beginning, right, James? I mean, he was blasting away here, and I thought, I don't know what I'm going to shove in his mouth to make him be quiet. But he's been quiet. See, he hears his mom talking. I'm mom. I mean, if you can believe that, I'm mom. And he's got to say one night, "I love you." He sounds like this little old man when he talks. It's no joke. It's hilarious. "I love you." And I'm smiling ear to ear. Again, next week we'll do this again. Look for more great things on the site. And do check out our audio. It's a great way. I love to talk to everybody. You know, everybody knows I'm a little chatterbox. But I think talking to your advisor is, you really get a whole lot out of it. Okay, that's it for tonight. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you, everybody in the room. Thank you, Denise, Cheyenne, and James. And I'll see you. My voice is raspy, but I'll see everybody next week. I love you, and have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Love you, too.